It's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I've brought you the greatest gift of all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in that case...
Entertain me!
It's showtime!
Make use of the help that God puts around you.
We are not a glum lot.
A promise is a promise.
It's very simple. Just don't drink and go to meetings.
Give time.
Easy does it. But do it.
Want to have self-esteem? Just do esteemable things.
One day at a time.
We carry the message, not the alcoholic.
Don't quit before the miracle happens.
Hey, with an effective character, it's three guys sitting around talking about our personal experience in a recovery. Hey, I'm Mike.
I'm Dennis.
And I'm James.
The opinions are our own. We don't represent any particular organization, institution, or fellowship. Today, we'll be sharing our experience while playing Tear and Share in this episode 227 of the Defective Characters Podcast. Let's go.
Share.
Wow, James' favorite. It's so good. If I was to let you guys guess before I told you the date of the last that we last did the Tear and Share, I was a little surprised when it was. Didn't it seem like we did it like not that long ago, James, or did it seem a while?
It's around Christmas time, I think.
Christmas. Yeah. How about you? What do you think, Dennis?
Last year.
Yeah, it was. You're both correct-ish. It was October 19th was the last time that we did a Tear and Share.
That's not around Christmas time, though.
No.
That is last year, though.
It's almost Christmas time. Dennis just wanted to be right for once.
I said like, for we once. Both can't be right.
Yeah.
I'm right.
We both can be right. And by both, I mean all.
Yeah.
Shouldn't both be... relative to whoever's in the room, does it just need to be two? Do you know, James?
I think it is. Yeah, otherwise it would be many.
Should be all. I had a conversation with my daughter, Olivia. I guess I'll start with the last 7 days and then we can go around. But I was trying to get her. She says them a lot. So here's a point of reference. Yesterday, Becky's sister and her kids came and they hung out for an hour and they left. And Olivia kept saying, did them leave? And which is something quite often a lot of kids have a difficulty with them and they and all that stuff. And I said, did they leave? She goes, yeah, did them leave? And I said, no. Did so it was like a who's on first thing from Abbott. Because this thing, without exaggeration, went on for at least 2.5 minutes. Back and forth. And then she's like, oh, them did leave. And I'm like, no. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how it is, did they leave? Because my response to her was, did they leave? She's like, I don't know. I don't know if they did. Did them? So it was comedy. Because I said, repeat after me. Say what I'm saying. Did they leave? And she said, did them leave? So she couldn't get it, and I broke it down word for word, and she said it, and I said, okay, put it all together, and she's like, did them leave every single time? So it was good.
She was just messing with you.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, no dinner for her. Who's laughing now? She's still hungry. Hasn't ate. So things were good, though. I was proud last night. I did something that... I was told I shouldn't do. I had a gingerbread house that I forgot to make during the Christmas season. And I said, you know what? It's going to make a mess. And I don't like messes. But I'm going to actually stick through. I'm going to create this mess. And they're going to have memories made because of the mess. And they did. Sure as anything. Both the boys got into the frosting. And they did one at a time. They destroyed their hands and got the dye all over their fingers. And Becky was furious at one of them. And as soon as she was cleaning one, then the other one was like, here's my turn to have at it. And I'm proud to say the only one that didn't act a fool was Olivia. Olivia just kind of like sat there and then she decorated a couple of the gingerbread men that came with the house. And it was great. So it's good. So we got some good videos. Still have our Christmas tree up. Still waiting for something that I bought on Facebook to show up at the house, which is a big suitcase to put the breakable ornaments. It's coming from really, really far away. So I think it's going to be at least March until we get this tree down. And I'm holding, like, Becky's like, if by Valentine's Day, if we still don't have it, we're just going to get a box and put these in.
Is it a real tree or a fake tree?
It is not a real tree. Oh, okay. It is not a real tree. It's, I used to be totally against fake trees, right? And then I look, and I look at a pumpkin being outside in Florida, only lasts like 2 days. So I go, okay, a tree inside in Florida, maybe a week, week and a half. Then you have to throw it away. So
and then you get the needles everywhere that you find throughout the years.
Yeah. I don't know. I have enough people needling in my life, you know. I don't need any of that. Seems like too much work. So but the last week was really good. And we're starting a new year with a Christmas tree still up. So that's kind of cool. You know, it feels like the holidays are still going on as we are well into almost February. Just days away till February. How are you guys doing on your resolutions? Still doing all right with that? You remember when you resolved?
What was my resolution?
We just did it 3 weeks ago. You got... This is not good. Okay, James, Dennis. Okay, James, how's everything?
Thanks, Mike. Everything's good. I'm, as far as resolutions, saving money, that's going good. Not, I'm being more mindful, not really putting a lot of time into sitting down in the morning and meditating. So I'll still have to work on that. Last week has been good. Let me see. Yesterday, our new church opened up, Illuminate Church, and that's a beautiful new church. We were meeting at the high school. Now we have our own church.
Where in town?
It's off of 429 in Sinclair.
Oh, if you,
yeah, it's about, it takes 15 minutes to get there from on Sunday morning. So I really enjoy it. You guys are both invited Sunday morning if you'd like
Sunday?
To come.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to church that day.
Oh, boy.
You know, I've been to that church before. And when I was at the high school, long before I ever met you, I went to that church.
So come to the new one.
Yeah.
I'll come and pick you up. Now... I picked up a shift today. I'm working every day this week, but I'm off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, which I'm kind of excited about. And I'm gonna go down, pick up my son, my 16-year-old, and we're staying at the one of the tribal casinos for the weekend, Miccosukee.
Bless you.
Thank you. And it's got a giant indoor pool and hot tub, and I'm excited.
Like in the room?
Not in the room. Oh. And Dennis said, in the room?
Because
you probably couldn't hear him.
Yeah, no, probably not. Whatever.
And I'm excited to see them, and we're doing this kind of like this AA/ Christian ministry workshop this weekend where Talitha will be sharing. And I'm really tired today. I don't know if it's a cold or maybe
it is.
Yeah.
It is a cold.
But I got up at 6:32. I worked out. I did CrossFit. And I took like a 20-minute nap before our time to come here. And it was freezing this morning, like in the 30s. So that's cold for Florida. Dennis, what do you got?
I've been enjoying the cold weather. It has been cold, though. It like almost got down to freezing the night before last, which is cool. And now it's like almost warm again. It'll be like 80 tomorrow. This week, I don't know. I worked on YouTube stuff. That's been going pretty well. Now some of my videos started getting views, not just my shorts. So that's progress. I had one viewer.
Shorts.
Ah, I get it. I had one viewer that, like, went back and watched all of my videos in, like, my one series.
Peaches?
And, like, commented on each of the videos. I was like, yes, that's cool. I got a fan.
Was it Peaches?
It was not Peaches.
Not your dad.
No, I'm pretty sure my dad's never seen any of it.
Does he know you do it?
I don't think so. I don't know.
What was the last conversation you had with your dad?
I don't remember. Probably about him going out of town, like he just went out of town and came back.
Interesting.
That's
funny.
Yeah. But this morning I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning with terrible anxiety. It was really bad and I was really nauseous. And it was just really bad. I forced myself to go to Publix and get stuff for my mom. And then I forced myself to walk to the park here. And I made it. Now I'm here. And Mike actually showed up at my house to give me a ride to the park. And I just got to the park when he said that. So that was funny.
Ha!
Ha! But I saw a movie last night, right? You know who Charlie Day is? Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I get accused that I sound like Charlie Day.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah. So Charlie Day, his directorial debut, right?
Yeah. Was it good?
It was Fool's Paradise was the name of it. It was good. I enjoyed it. But I want both of y'all to watch it and tell me if it's a Faldo movie. Because
it definitely is.
It's 100% a Faldo movie.
I saw the trailer, and if you don't know, if you're new to the podcast and haven't experienced, it was 3 years ago that Dennis, three and a half, that Dennis made the sequel to Faldo, and then it was 5.5 years ago that you made the original.
Yeah. Wow. It's been that long.
Yep.
Damn. But yeah.
Right.
But this movie is 100% Faldo. The aesthetic's a little bit different. But it was a good movie. He did a good job at it. I would have done better, but he did good. No, but it's worth watching.
Nice.
But yeah.
Tear and share. This came up because a group that I contributed to way back in the day. I don't even know if we originally talked about it. So a friend of mine that I first started listening to their podcast, and it's a recovery podcast. They were talking about how in Southeast Michigan, apparently they do these things called Popsicle Night, where they have a popsicle and a slogan or a topic on the popsicles, and they hand the cup around, and on the popsicle, you see what it is. Now, Popsicle Night, though sounds cool, I like rhymes, alliterations, and opposites. So, Tear and Share just made sense. I think James actually came up with the name, but maybe not. I'm going to give him and Dennis credit for it. So this is where we have almost every topic that we have ever done on the show.
And then some.
In here. And then some. Yeah, there's some miscellaneous ones where Dennis is like, talk about how good my ankles look.
Yep.
And we're like, what?
We never draw that one. One day we're going to draw that one.
I think you got fankles. They're ugly ankles. Step 10, which is, spoiler alert, Dennis, go.
It's so tiny.
Oh, my God, I know this.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. He doesn't know step 10. Help us. Do you want to tap me in? You want me to help you?
Wait, let me guess, because I should know this. Is this
continued?
Continue to practice these principles and all of
that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's not even, that's
personal inventory.
Inventory.
Let
me admit it. We tried.
I'm not good at
you
that.
You need to go to more meetings, my friend. You would hear it every morning.
You know what? At least he's practicing.
I still won't remember.
At least he's. You know what it is? That's slide number 10. That's in the PowerPoint presentation. That's not step. That's the woo.
Oh, okay.
That's the slide down. Okay. So I will say this, okay? At the end of every night, I don't go back and go, okay, how did I do today? And do the whole, you know, tally of do I have to make an amends or blah, blah. But I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good about pausing before reacting. So that way I don't have to make an amends. Every once in a while I can feel it in my gut. But seldom do I have to even wait to the end of the night. Now, it's not because I'm better at it. It's just because at the end of the night I have more things to worry about. Usually it's, am I actually going to be able to sleep tonight? Because I'm thinking about this thing that I have coming up. Usually it's future thoughts. I don't have much time at the end of the night to think back to what I did. So I pause, and it honestly prevents me from needing to feel like I have to do it. Right. I think that's it. That's my answer.
That's
so do I do step 10? I do step 10, not at the end of the night, like it's told in the book, like as a suggestion. I do it during the day. So, yeah. All right, James, what do you got?
Oh.
skip a turn.
Oh, next.
No,
I knew it, put a skip a turn in there.
There should be skip
in a reverse.
Draw four.
He's got him in his sleeve so he can draw them in.
So this is too funny. Prayer and meditation.
There you go. Oh, yeah, which is step? You.
12. 11. So I just spoke about this on my, the last week. I pray all the time. In fact, I have not skipped a day since I became sober almost 7 years ago. I've always connected to the higher power, even if it's just to say thank you. Thank you for this day. And I will continue to pray. I always pray before work. I pray before I go on a road trip. I pray for my children. I pray for my friends. You know, I pray for just thankfulness and for everything that's been given to me. And when I couple meditation with that, it's remarkable the things that come. When I meditate the few times that I have, it really, you know, opens up my mind so I can see things a little more clear. And it helps me a lot during the day. So I'm, you know, slow to anger and I can act and not react. So it's something I definitely have to work on. It's the 11th step for a reason. I don't know which reason is that, but it is good. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, Dennis.
Amen.
Dennis.
Me.
And if you pull one we already
draw
had, then
four.
We can
draw four.
Share it again.
Step five. Oh, wow.
Step heavy.
Okay. I know what step five is.
Go for it. Say it word for word.
Oh, word for word. I don't know.
I don't
it.
Think so. Don't worry about that.
So step five is share with another alcoholic your step four.
That's right.
Basically.
Yeah.
God and another alcoholic.
God and another alcoholic.
Don't forget. You always forget God.
Well, but God's always there. I don't have to That's remember right. him because he's there.
He keeps him in his pocket, his butt pocket. I usually sit on
I don't know what to say to that.
Okay.
I was going to say, is that blasphemous? And I was like, well, God's got a sense of humor. He probably chuckled, even though
he
I didn't.
Tickles my bottom.
Okay. Yeah, I think step five, and I'm going to tie step four into this as well. I think, you know, taking a personal inventory of yourself, you know, is like cleaning out the closet. If you have skeletons in your closet and you never open that closet, the skeletons are going to remain there for the rest of your life. And eventually they're just going to pile up and overflow and get out. So to me, like step four is going in to that closet and looking to see what skeletons are actually there and what cobwebs and bugs and all of that kind of stuff is there. And then step five is taking all of the cobwebs and stuff and taking a broom and cleaning it all out, you know, giving it all to God, giving it to another alcoholic so you can get perspective on it and realize that you're not alone. And a lot of times you find that, like, some of the worst stuff you've ever done that you've been holding in and it's been eating at you forever, you know, when looked at it through another perspective, you can see it as just a temporary mistake or not as bad as you made it to look, you know, and then you move on and you make amends for those mistakes. So, yeah, very good. Your turn, Mike.
Thanks, Dennis. It was awfully long-winded. I did appreciate that.
I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
I like your long wind.
Yep, that's right. I went there. Alrighty.
I don't know what that means. We got
ego.
Ego.
The planet from Mars.
Ego.
Yeah.
Finding Ego. That's my favorite Disney movie. So, I think for a lot of people, ego is tied, or at least for me, I saw it as tied to your will. Or God's will, right? So if you are living in your will and you're not willing to actually take the steps to finding God and having a relationship with a higher power, I think that will prevent you ever. You can be a little bit more selfless, but you cannot be more selfless than selfish unless you have a relationship with it, that there's a power greater than you out there. You know, I think that's where it prevented me. I talked about this, I think not on the podcast, maybe in a meeting last week, the 51-49 of I tried 51% of the time when I was drinking to do my best and to be 51% good guy. But I always teetered around that 49% of there are people out there that didn't think that I was a good guy. They thought I was a straight up asshole and thought that I would always talk about me and not help anyone else out and just really selfish. And I probably was, you know, it was probably even towards the end, it was probably more like a 70-30 that I didn't care. The amount of people that I cared about were so few besides myself, and the program very easily makes it so any ego that we have, whether it's, you know, I'm sure there's people that James comes in contact with or Dennis does that they know you. And if you're known around the town for whatever reason, even now in recovery and sober, you can be feel, let's say, not grandiose, like when you feel like, oh, I'm important. You know, all these people are saying hello to me. What's this?
Grandiose.
Yes, grandiose. Like, and I feel like I don't have that nowadays, even though within my job, I'm sure people perceive it as that way, but I can have conversations with people and they can give me compliments and I take them as I'm grateful that, you know, if anything, I did something of the tools and talents that I have and being as good of a person as I can be is because of the program. And for Bill and Bob actually creating it, and the big guy in the sky, he's the guy that did. So there you go. There's my share. James, I see you rifling through.
Step 10.
Ooh.
For real?
Yeah. Yep.
There it is.
I'm on the same page as Mike. I've never done a step 10 at night, and I don't think I ever will. Maybe if I... You know,
do you think it's good advice to do it at night? Do you think doing it at night is good for people that are new in the program?
I think it's good all around. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think, to me, the purpose of doing it at night is to take a recap of what your day was, right? So it's like I went through, my whole day. So where was I selfish? Where did I mess up? Who do I need to make amends to tomorrow? So you have all of that cleared up. And so the next day, you know, you're prepared to do better, hopefully.
Yeah. So, I guess I could be a little better at it. At least, you know, I go through the day and I pretty much make light of everything and try to be kind and generous to all. The only one that I would need to make amends to usually is my wife. And usually I'll do that at night, or I'll kiss her on the head, or the next morning, you know, I'm just like, hey, I was a jerk yesterday. I'm really sorry. I promise not to ever do that again.
Until next
time. And, you know, I don't say that, but, but I don't know, maybe I can, ask my sponsor about it or ask my wife what they think, you know, because it's clear none of us three are doing it. So maybe ask someone who's actually doing it. Maybe they need to do it because they're always... I don't know. It's hard to say. My sponsor did give me this book called the Blue Book or something. It's like an Al-Anon book. So I just put it on my shelf. But he says it's really good stuff. So we'll see. Maybe I'll work on that. What do you got, Dennis?
Well, for the record, I want to say I kind of do a 10-step every day. Every day when I go to bed, I do my prayer. And then I go over what I did today, and I list all the things that I did today.
You write it down?
I don't write it down, so I don't do it exactly.
You're a writer!
But I do take an inventory.
You're a writer, and you don't write it down. So well, what does that say?
I might have been a writer at this point. Progress, not perfection. Yeah. And that's let's touch on the 10th step with this.
Which is what again?
Help another alcoholic. No.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, progress, not perfection is one of my favorite things. I mean, especially because I can be awfully hard on myself with, like, depression and stuff. And you know, we can compare ourselves to other people and stuff. And a lot of times we can, like, put I covered that up for a reason.
Oh.
can compare ourselves to others and think that we have to do this perfectly, that we have to, like, be our idea of a perfect person, which is different than everyone else. But the truth is not, because we are still human. We're still going to, like, make mistakes. We're still going to stumble. But the point is that we pick ourselves back up and keep moving forward.
That's a poignant point.
Like, whenever you have a newcomer that has, like, a month sober and you find out they relapse, but you find out because they came back to a meeting and told the group, to me, that's progress. You know, like, I can't expect that person to be perfect. That person, like, you know, humbled themselves enough to come in and admit to a group of alcoholics that they slipped and they got back on the horse and they're moving forward again. So I think that's beautiful. Where a lot of times you don't. You see people just go out and never come back. Yeah. And trying to be perfect is just way too hard.
Yeah. That's true. Okay, last round, and then we're out of here.
Speed round.
Okay, so we got 90 seconds or under that we got to hit on this.
Are you timing it?
So I have, no, I'm pretty good in my head. Dealing with loss.
Oh.
It was tough for all of us. If you have lost somebody in sobriety, my grandmother, when she passed away, I was 3 years sober, and I had to be around my, I guess, extended family. Would cousins be extended family? Because your family is just like siblings and parents,
yeah,
right? So I had to be around aunts and uncles and cousins, and a lot of them didn't know how to react because it was the first time that I was there. But I showed up. I went to the wake and the funeral, and dealing with loss was tough because they told me the very last minute, they told me at the funeral that no one was there to talk about my grandmother, like, and do like a impromptu eulogy and talk about like why she's, they're like, oh, well, you talk for a living, so you can do it. And they dropped this on me in the pew when I was already in the church. And it was really difficult. And I thought it was incredibly selfish. A lot of my cousins that were there, truth be told, they didn't have as good of a relationship with my grandmother. So there are more memories that I probably had. But even my brother, I felt like it was really crappy that, I mean, we grew up in the same house as my grandparents. They lived in the in-law apartment. But I know this is supposed to be 90 seconds, but like, that was a really tough loss that I dealt with. And then I had to sober. I had to get up there, and that was maybe like 50 people there, and talk about how amazing she was. And I mean, I was pissed. And my sponsor told me, hey, you were the guy. You were supposed to be there. Do you think, like, they knew. People know that you do this for a living, and that you could probably get up there and ramble, like, rattle off some stuff that is more touching than they could come up with. So it honors, you know, the person. So I look at anything that's in me now as there has to be a reason that I have different abilities, you know, like Dennis, yours, we've talked about it before, super consistent, and dealing with loss is really tough sober, because we have to deal with life on life's terms. But I'm glad that I get to today. All right. Way over 90 seconds. Go, James.
Having hobbies in recovery.
Oh.
I work out. I draw. I ride my bike.
What else?
I play games. I go ice skating. I eat food.
Can that be a hobby?
Eating food?
You're just naming things you do every once in a while. Except for the food thing, which is constant.
Well, working out is a hobby now, right?
Is there?
Well, you do it regularly.
That's like
yeah.
6 hours a
is
week.
Is there a hobby you never thought that you would have when you were drinking? That probably going to meetings, isn't that a hobby?
Yeah, I guess.
Doing this?
I don't, you know what? I don't have time to do hobbies, to be honest with you.
This
is a hobby.
Oh, really?
Kind of. I think it's good to have hobbies. Our friend Brad was, I think he needs to get a hobby because his mind is always going elsewhere. And then I saw him at CrossFit this morning. And he got a new sponsor. He got Pete as a sponsor.
Oh, no. Oh. I don't know Pete. Oh. I don't know Pete.
No, no.
Is that good?
Pete, good? I think he'll be like a drill sergeant. Yeah. So.
Oh, no.
So I think that's what he needs.
To be honest, because he'll bring him in. He's from, like, the culty side of AA, right? Where, like, you know, and I don't mean that as a necessarily a derogatory term. But he's very, like, hands-on, like, by the book, like, you know, call me every day, like, and that's probably what Brad needs. So God bless him, man. Good for him. To comment on James before I draw my last one, the hobby that I have that I thought I would never have if you asked at any point before I started the hobby would be Minecraft. Believe it or not, I was never a gamer. Never played games, very rarely. And then Minecraft, like...
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Hmm.
What's Minecraft?
It's a game!
Oh. Everyone knows what Minecraft is at this point.
Nobody knows.
Well, the podcast... Yeah, you've explained it enough.
Yeah.
2 years straight.
At least.
Letting go of anger. So, whenever James makes a smart-ass comment, I get very furious inside. And then I go take a poop and it's done. No, I think James rarely ever makes me angry. Mike, on the other hand. No,
oh, yeah.
Just kidding. No. No, I think, like, anger, we've all heard it before. Anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Or is that resentment? It's resentment. But it's the same thing. Like, anger is very toxic, you know? I remember... when I first started driving, and you always hear people, like, complaining about, like, cars on the road. Oh, that person didn't use a ticker. That person didn't stop every, like, whatever. That person cut me off. And early on in, when I started driving, I realized that, like, that stuff happens all the time, right? So if I'm going to, like, get angry at every time someone cuts me off, I'm going to be angry all the time. So then I decided not to get angry at that. I just accept it. And I think, like, that lesson that I learned early on, like, I can apply it to a lot of basically everything else in life that, like, irritates me. Is just to accept that it's a part of life and then let it go. You know, there's certain things that are hard for me that I get heated on. And, you know, like politics or, like, people's egos, you know, you ever run into those people who like are so egotistical that it's like in your face and aggressive, like that can piss me off. But normally I walk away from it, you know, and that's the thing too, is like, I had to learn acceptance and I had to learn to when to hold them, when to fold them and when to walk away. You know,
that's a song.
I know. Hank Williams, right?
Yeah.
Junior.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
You should know. You're the guy who should.
Isn't that the gambler? Isn't that Kenny Rogers?
Is it Kenny? It might be Kenny Rogers. It might be Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers chicken.
I was close.
Yep.
I used to eat that growing up.
I know. That's why I said it. I watched you for years.
Their corn muffins were the best.
Yeah. Oh, that's a corny joke. You can take it and put it in your pipe and smoke it. Another episode of the Defective Characters Podcast. Let's put a little bow on this. Boop. We're back next Thursday sharing your experience, strength, and hope with episode 228. We're the Defective Characters, entirely ready to have all these character defects removed. Remember, sharing is sharing is caring. And step six, go, Dennis.
That's the reflection one. You reflect on what you just did before and five.
See you next time.
That's right.